Good morning to you, all mothers. Happy Mother's Day, and may God bless you today, surround you with delight. We're going to give attention a little bit more in just a moment. A few announcements for you. We do have a GA Girls in Action bake sale going on today, preparation for summer camp, and they'll be set up this morning. Perhaps you saw them coming in on this side of the building outside. There are some baked goods for you, and that is part of their preparation for camp. So be sure you visit there afterwards, perhaps a dessert for Mother's Day with your family. We do have revival meetings next Sunday, beginning next Sunday through Wednesday, May the 18th. Our guest speakers are Dr. Brad McLean, pastor of First Baptist Church, New Braunfels. And then also the music will be led by Brother Gary Coven from First Baptist Church, Fredericksburg. We will be having only one morning service, and that will be at 10:45. And then we will have Sunday school at 9:30. Before that, evening service at 5:30. The Sunday schedule will keep that way. Monday through Wednesday, we will have lunches at 11:45 in the Fellowship Hall. If you are working in the community and are able to come and be a part of those midday devotional thoughts and a meal, the meal is free. You bring your coworkers with you. We'd love to have you there, and then we will get you back on the road so you can get back to work fitting time. The evening services Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be at 6 p.m. We will not have evening meals this year. It is the week of graduation. We recognize there may be a lot of different meetings going on, but we do want you to be able to be here if you can for time together, refreshing, renewal, healing. We certainly need to be seeking the Lord in these days. Also, a revival choir will be going on. There's a sign-up sheet for revival choir out at the information desk. We have about 20 people sign up so far, and Brother Gary would like to meet with the choir on Saturday afternoon about 4 o'clock. And so if you're able to be a part of that choir, make your way here at 4 o'clock on Saturday and practice with the revival choir. One other note, actually two, but there are hunger offering envelopes in your pew backs. In lieu of handing out trinkets or anything for the mothers, we thought, and we did this last year and it turned out very well. I think we raised about $600+ for hunger offering. And so if you're inclined to do so, please make a hunger offering in honor of your mother, perhaps, and that would help to be a ministry to those that are hungry in these days. We will begin one morning service on next Sunday, and we will continue that through the summertime, as our church has voted to do. So be mindful of that. We will be down to one morning service beginning next Sunday. Now, like to pray an invocation, so if you'll join me at this time, we'll ask God to be in our midst this morning. Father in heaven, we look to you this morning. We thank you for being our creator God, sustainer of all things, the savior of those who will repent. And Lord God, we thank you that you're the finisher of our faith, bringing us ultimately who belong to you, to yourself on an appointed day. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that it is to pray to you, to acknowledge your provision for us, Lord God, to give you praise and thanksgiving, and Lord God, to commit ourselves to walk in your name and in the power of your Spirit in these days. And so, Father, draw us close to you as well as close to one another during this time. I do pray, Father, your Spirit has freedom to move in our midst. Lord God, break our hearts where they need to be broken. Heal our hearts where they need to be healed. Father God, and mend our hearts into one as we have one God, one Savior, and one Spirit. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for loving us first through Christ Jesus, in whose name we now pray by the power of the Spirit. Amen. All right, being Mother's Day, I do have customarily, since I've been here, to ask those of you whose mothers have passed on, if you would stand at this time so I can pray a special prayer for you on this day. If your mother has gone on to glory, please stand at this time so we can pray with you. Let's pray together. Father, again, as we humble our hearts before your throne of grace and mercy, we are very aware that this day is a day of remembering, a day of celebration for many, and also, Father, a day of heartache for some whose mothers are no longer with them. But I pray, thanking you, Father, for the great privilege that these have had to know their mothers, perhaps to have been nurtured by those mothers and loved and tended to for years. And Lord, now they have memories. Perhaps they carry characteristics and qualities that their mothers had carried in the days before. And Father, I pray that you would help these as they experience loss and as they miss the very presence of those persons, that, Lord God, they will celebrate the great gifts that have been passed down to them and will cherish those memories. Lord God, I pray for your comfort and encouragement, your embrace upon each of these as they face this day and the days to come. Lord God, we thank you for mothers, and I thank you for these. Bless in a very special way, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to pray that way. And then for mothers, some of you will be visiting with mothers today, perhaps making phone calls, contacts. But and some of you are mothers, and I hope that you have a blessed day. Allow me to pray for you and your efforts today as you minister to your mothers. Father, we yield to you today. We thank you for the privilege to worship. We pray that you feed our souls, that we are appropriate vessels through which we can give you glory and praise and honor for our mothers, and to remember the good things that they're doing, and Lord God, to give them honor as a result of that. I thank you that one of the commandments reminds us to honor our parents, and Lord God, help us to do that today. We thank you for every opportunity you give us to do that, and whatever way that we have the opportunity to do that, Father, that you would bless that opportunity, and that, Lord God, you would bring comfort and strength and delight to these mothers on this day. I thank you for mothers. I thank you for the investment they make in others, and I pray, Father, that you would bless them today in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Brother Alec and the team will lead us.
Good morning, church. Will you stand with us as we sing to the Lord this morning? Sing, come behold the wondrous mystery.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us.
Come behold the perfect Son of Man, Christ our Lord.
Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand.
Come behold our Lord upon the tree.
Behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death, the God of life, but no grave could ever restrain him. Praise the Lord, he is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes.
Amen. Church, the psalmist writes in Psalm 18, verses 21 through 29, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. In other words, worship him. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will praise you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let's continue in singing together, church. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Sing that again. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Through very high and Christ alone, Christ alone. You're our cornerstone, the weak are made strong in our Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for this day, for this time together to worship you, Lord. We thank you for your provision for us and for all the many blessings that you have given us, Lord. I pray that you would be with your church today, that you would help us to look to you in every aspect of our lives, Father, that we would be seeking your will every day, that we would just open our hearts to your direction and just be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings to the furtherment of your kingdom. Father, that they would just be a blessing to many, both here and around the world. Father, thank you for the mothers that each and every one of us have had and have. Father, we thank you for their love and for their caring for us. And Father, we ask that you would just bless them today and that we could show them a little bit of that love in return. Father, be with Brother Robert as he brings your word. Help him to just be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit and that we would just be open to that. Father, we love you and we are so thankful for your love for us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Satisfied.
for the day has passed us by. Before our hearts forget all your goodness, satisfy us with your love. When the sun comes up, satisfy us before the day has passed us by. Before our hearts give up, Spirit, fill us, satisfy us with your love. Satisfy us with your love.
Lord, we ask that this morning, that you would remind us constantly of the love poured out for us, that there was nothing in us that deserved it or earned it. There's nothing you needed from us or desired of us other than to bestow your love upon us, to make us new, to make us right. And so, Lord, when we are tempted daily to seek satisfaction elsewhere, would you remind us to be satisfied in what you have given? You have given us true life, and it is in you and you alone that we find it. But now, as Brother Robert comes, speak the truth of your word. Would you just empower him by your Holy Spirit? And would you make everyone here receptive? Give us minds to understand it and hearts to desire it, ears to hear it, eyes to see. Lord, also that you would be most glorified. And Jesus, we pray all these things in your name for your glory. Amen.
Thank you, praise team. Thank you for reminding us to be satisfied in Christ and Him alone. That is always a good message. I want us to take a little time this morning to peek into a very bittersweet and intimate moment revealed in Scripture between the Lord Jesus Christ and His mother, Mary. It happened during the crucifixion of the Lord as He was paying the price for the sin of man through His crucifixion. We find that Jesus took time out for others. Remember that He prayed for His executioners. It's recorded in Scripture that He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Out of ignorance, they were sacrificing Him, and His desire was for the time when they would come to a realization of their sin, they would call out to Him in repentance, and God would grant it for them. He also ministered grace to the repentant thief who was hanging on a cross next to Him, who earlier had been hurling the same insults as everyone else, calling on Christ to raise himself up if He is the Christ indeed. But after moments of watching Christ and experiencing the things that Jesus was saying, he turned to Him and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus promised him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We find that even in the anguish of Christ paying the price of sin, not just the physical pain, but the spiritual experience of bearing the shame and the guilt of man and the separation from the Father in those hours, He continued to minister to others. I praise the Lord for these pictures from the cross. And what we see most of all, while He's providing for others during that time of His most personal experience of trauma, we find that ultimately the most important and necessary provision that He's making at the cross is for our salvation. And so Christ, during the atonement, experiencing this torture, made this special provision for His mother, Mary. I want us to look at that and find that account in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 25, 26, and 27. Not very many verses, but they have a lot in them. So please stand with me as we look at this presentation of Christ at the cross, as the Apostle John has recorded it for us. John 19, verse 25. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. If you read the previous verses, they were under the cross casting lots for his garments. But there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege to be able to pray, commune with you, to rely and depend upon the Spirit and the things you're placing in our hearts. And now, Father, as we come to this scripture text and we examine it, we pray for your Holy Spirit to give insight and wisdom, comprehension, and then also, Father, a heart to respond that would be appropriate with what we hear. Lord God, I thank you for the truth of your word, that it carries power, it carries life, and it is our very food. Lord God, may we eat of your food today. In the name of Jesus and to your glory we pray it. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that there are very few exchanges in Scripture between Jesus and his mother Mary. And it really leaves me wondering what kind of relationship they have. I have my own relationship with my mom, and it is a complicated issue and complex. Some of you have relationships with your mom, and they may be complex just as much as mine, if not more so. But here, and when we look at scriptures, it's amazing to see how Jesus interacted with his mother. In the few places that we find it, I kind of want to know a little bit more about that. Early in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 51, we learn that Jesus was mistakenly left behind in Jerusalem after an annual trip to Jerusalem to worship. And the family apparently had come in a caravan with other neighbors from the Galilean area, and they traveled down to Jerusalem. They worshiped for the time there, and then they left. And some believe that Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary, and Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph, and they traveled some time before they realized he wasn't with them. The scripture says it was some 3 days before they finally got to Jerusalem and found him. So Jesus, for 3 days, basically was in Jerusalem, just kind of wandering around. And when they finally found him, the scripture seems to indicate that they were concerned about him. They questioned his treatment of them. "Why have you done this to us?" As if he was responsible for being left behind. And his response to them was, "Why were you frantic looking for me? Did you not know I would be in my Father's house?" Every time we find an interaction between Jesus and his mother, there seems to be a really strong implication that Mary really pondered that. She started thinking about what Jesus was saying and how he said it. And we have to believe that that was one of those instances. The text goes on to reveal in Luke chapter 2 that he went back to Nazareth with his parents. He continued to subject himself to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So we know that she was pondering and wondering about this exchange and about what it meant for Jesus to be saying, "Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's house?" And of course, she was the one the angel shared with and said he's going to be the Savior of his people. She knew there was something there, but much like many of us, we don't know exactly how that plays out, and the fruition of it often astounds us. So we can't begin to fathom what Mary as a mother was thinking. Even though she'd had this supernatural experience in becoming pregnant and hearing from an angel, she still was thinking like a mother. What does this mean? Think about John's gospel, chapter 2 of that gospel, this very gospel we read from this morning, when Jesus and his disciples attended a wedding in Cana. This is after Jesus had called his disciples and then began his ministry and attended a wedding. It's believed it was one of their relatives, perhaps, and Mary was one of those wedding directors, as it were, back in the day. And we find that she comes to Jesus and she's concerned about the beverage situation. They're running out of wine. And Jesus' response to his mother was, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour's not come." A lot of criticism about the way Jesus responded here, thinking it was disrespectful or not concerned for his mother and the situation she faced. But really, Jesus was indicating when he said, "Woman," it was just like we say, "Ma'am," today. It is respectful. And Jesus was sharing something with her as a reminder, really, "What have I to do with you?" was not saying, "I don't want anything to do with you." It was really saying, indicating to her that their current relationship was no longer what it used to be. Now that he was in ministry, he had called his disciples and was on mission for the Father, things were going to be a little bit different in their relationship. He was growing up in Nazareth. He was dependent of her authority. Now, as he has his home base in Capernaum, he was independent of her authority. And even other earthly influences would not be determining his actions. He would be listening to the Father, not to any human being. Scholars suggest that Mary's request was for him to fully reveal himself at that time, and it wasn't time. In fact, it would be some 3 years before Jesus would fully reveal himself, at least to the public. Jesus followed the Father's timetable and not man's nor mom's. Mary was to start beginning to understand and see Jesus as her Messiah rather than her son. We have complicated experiences with parenthood and childhood, but imagine Mary and Jesus. How complex this whole situation was. Matthew's gospel reveals another account of an encounter between Jesus and his family, Mary included. In Matthew chapter 12, I want to read a few verses to you out of there in verse 46 through 50. "While he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you.' But he answered the one who was telling him and said, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who's in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" In that response, oftentimes we wonder what Jesus is talking about. Well, previous verses indicate to us that the family came, perhaps because Jesus was just working so hard and really wasn't making a lot of friends. He cast demons out of some. He healed some. He was teaching the truth of the Lord God, but he was also offending the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and chief priests, the people who were important in society, and he was making enemies, and that was a concern for them because they thought maybe he's going to be in trouble. If we don't stop him and talk sense into him, he's going to be taken captive and ruined. And a lot of scholars believe that is why they came to him, so that they could rescue him from himself, because he was just overdoing it. He was too zealous in his ministry. Well, we can deduct, yes, Jesus was making enemies with ones who had great influence in their communities, and perhaps his family was concerned with his well-being. But again, Jesus was undeterred from the mission the Father had sent him to do. He was not going to be distracted from that. And he found this as a teaching moment. I love how Jesus took this when asked, "Your brothers, your mother, standing outside, they want to talk to you." And then he turned it around and said, "Who are my mothers? Who's my mother? Who's my brothers?" And then directed it to those and said, "These who hear the word of the Father, those who trust the Lord God, those who follow him, those are my relatives." It's a spiritual relationship. I know that in our country, things are a little bit different, but in some nations, when you convert to Christ, You will be disconnected from your family, physical family. Blood relatives will no longer acknowledge you and perhaps many times will seek to destroy you because they feel like you've been poisoned or fooled. Sometimes that happens in America, not a whole lot of times. I do know when I became a believer, I lost some friends. I found some new ones. In fact, I found a new family, a spiritual family, people who I had a kindred spirit with that I knew the Lord, and I had a new family. And Jesus here, speaking in that same kind of genre, he wasn't renouncing his own family. He loved them more than they loved him. Get that. Jesus never unloved anybody. But he was indicating that the invitation into an intimate relationship with him, that was open to everybody who would believe. Everybody who would trust the one who sent him. And it would result in a spiritual family to which he was a part. And all those who joined that would be a part of him. And so Jesus was indicating something different. And Mary certainly must have pondered that in those moments as she thought about what Jesus was identifying as his real family. Those who truly followed the Lord. Those who followed hard after truth. This is what Mary was having to ponder. And we have no evidence with certainty when Mary finally came to know Jesus as her Savior rather than her son. The only indicator we really have is when we get to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And the passage there reveals that Mary and Jesus' brothers were present with the 11 disciples and all of those who were committing themselves to prayer in that upper room before the Holy Spirit fell. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, Mary and his brothers, Jesus' brothers, were with the rest of the disciples. A conversion had happened somewhere in there. Perhaps the 40 days that Jesus continued to walk the earth and minister to those believers after his resurrection, before he ascended into heaven. But at this point, they weren't believers. And Jesus made the point, only believers are my family. And then we come to our text in John chapter 19. These exchanges and these interactions with Mary certainly made an impact upon her over the days. And we come to this passage and we find this standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Can you imagine that? Very few of us can imagine losing a child. Very few of us can imagine what it feels like to be a mother who's lost a child. After carrying a child for 9 months and in the early days nurturing and having that intimate connection either through breastfeeding or close contact and constantly nourishing and loving on that child, there is no way for the rest of us to comprehend fully what they're going through if they lose a child. It's hard for us to comprehend, and we're foolish if we think we can. But we find here that upon the dedication of Jesus as a baby at the temple in Jerusalem, in these hours while Mary is standing before the cross, she certainly must have remembered that time back in Luke chapter 2. When they brought Jesus in to dedicate him, and the old saint Simeon was there. And he cast a blessing. He made a declaration. It was a prophetic utterance, as it were. And then he spoke directly to Mary in verse 34, Mary and Joseph, and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child's appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. She heard in that moment a dedicating hymn in 8 days after his birth. There's coming a day when your soul will be pierced. She must have been thinking that at the cross here. All the moments that were flashing through her eyes as she watched her son's life ebb away and the blood come down off of his body and down that cross. Thinking about all the different interactions that they had and watching him minister in so many different ways until she finally came to recognize him as Savior and remembering how that prophet had said, one day your own soul will be pierced She must have had her soul really pierced in this setting. Grief like no one could understand. Standing at the cross, grief real and deep, much as our minds do when we lose someone special or go through traumatic experience. And in that moment, while Mary is pondering and wondering and looking upon her son who's dying, Jesus, in the midst of his own physical and supernatural trauma, was aware of his mother's grief. As he ministered to all of those who crucified him and to the thief who hung beside him, he saw his mother. And by this time, remember, Joseph is certainly dead, Mary's husband. By this time, we don't hear of him after the incident at Jerusalem where Jesus is left behind. We only hear about Mary. We hear about his brothers and sisters. And Jesus, as the firstborn son of a widow, would be responsible for his mother's care. And as he was dying, he was mindful of that. And he could not in good conscience leave the care of his mother who'd come to know him as Redeemer in the care of unsaved men, his brothers. So Jesus did the right and responsible thing. He entrusted his mother to the only disciple who's recorded to be near the cross during his crucifixion. All others had scrambled. This is the only one recorded, John. And in his gospel, his own moniker for himself is the one, the disciple Jesus loved. And we find that John is there next to Mary. And Jesus looks at his mother in her grief. And at John, faithful and loyal disciple. And he makes this statement, "Woman, behold your son." And then to John, "Behold your mother." What a provision that Jesus in his own anguish recognized the anguish of this piercing of a sword in her soul. In death, Christ made provision for his mother's physical and earthly care, entrusting her to John. In death, Christ had made provision for all who trust him to have their sin judged and atoned for. By his resurrection, Jesus secured resurrection for all who are dead in Christ according to Scripture. But all who trust in him will one day be raised up. Either through death or in the coming of the clouds of the sky on that appointed day, we have that promise as believers. But I will say this, you and I are unable to make spiritual provision for ourselves, for any other person. There's no way you and I could be an acceptable offering before God because we're not righteous. It took a sinless, perfect sacrifice to satisfy God's righteous requirements against us. But we can point others to Jesus. We can recognize that we have a Redeemer and a Savior and make provision for others by pointing them to Christ, helping them to recognize their need for a Savior. We can commit to be good stewards of the gifts that the Lord has planted inside our life upon our own conversion experience, which he does so that they might be used for the glory of Christ and pointing others to Jesus. And as this is Mother's Day, I think about the variety of opportunities that we would have. If we all sat down and said, "Here's what I'm going to do for my mom today," we would have a numerous list of things that can be done for moms. Whatever it is that the Lord gifts you and moves you to do, do it well and do it in the power of Christ. Know this, he provided you with that ability. It's not just because you're good, because you're not. None of us are good, but the Lord's goodness in and through us, that's what enables us to do the right thing and to do the good thing. Expressing appreciation, gratitude, love to those who provided for us, sometimes when we were pretty pathetic. And we have opportunity every day to bless the Lord in his good name, not only by professing to trust him, to be a believer, but living up to that confession by our behavior. among others, committing ourselves to the duties that give evidence of that confession. The Scripture tells us, if the Spirit is in you, then walk in the Spirit. For he who walks in the Spirit will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. Whoever walks in the Spirit will put on display the very fruit of the Spirit, that is the character of the Lord Himself. None of us can do that on our own. It is produced only by the Spirit. It is simply borne out by those who are willing branches. Listen, Jesus' death at the cross paid the price of your judgment for your sin before God. If you trust Him by grace through faith in Christ's work at the cross, you'll be imputed with His righteousness, enabled by the presence of the Holy Spirit to be able to serve Him appropriately. So it's all a work of God, but you've got to cooperate with Him. You've got to trust Him. And you've got to let Him work in and through you. Whether that be to honor your mother today, which is in obedience to one of the Ten Commandments, or whether it be to share the gospel with people that you work with, people that you go to school with, people that you sit out at the ballpark with, you have a responsibility there. This provision that Christ made for His mother, He made for all who will believe. And then He encourages us to make provision where we can make provision as the Lord enables and points us in those places. Listen, if you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I will tell you this. If you die in that condition, you will stand before God in your own righteousness. And in that you will be cast aside. According to what Scripture tells us, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, you'll be cast away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power for all time. That's not a very good prospect. And somebody might say, well, you're just trying to scare people into heaven. No, that's just the reality. Some people say, are you threatening me? No, I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you the truth. This is the reality. And my prayer would be that you would come to the place where if you're stirred in your heart and you haven't trusted Christ yet, but you know there's something stirring in your heart and you should respond, respond. Trust Christ. Trust in His work at the cross to pay the price of your sin. Trust that there's nothing you can do to find satisfaction in the Father's eyes except to trust Christ. And then you will know that you belong to Him, because the Spirit will bear witness with yours. Look, that provision's available. Jesus made it available, and it's available this morning through the declaration of this word. Trust Him. If you have trusted Him, then commit yourself to be a vessel of provision for others. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for the privilege that it is to worship You. To have known You by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, to have experienced forgiveness of sin, the lifting of the indictment against our souls, and seeing that it was all laid upon Christ Jesus as He willingly went to that place in our stead. Thank You, Father, for the righteousness that You, in place of that sin, put in the lives of those who are converted so that we might be vessels fit for serving a holy God. I thank You, Father, for the example of Christ in providing for His mother, and Lord God, that You prompt our hearts to be found faithful in doing the very same thing. In a different way, of course, but Lord God, may we be found faithful. For those that may not know You, Lord God, I pray that You put a spirit of conviction upon their heart and bring them to Yourself so that they call out to You for mercy and find it, find forgiveness and relief from the burden of their shame and guilt through the sacrifice of Christ. Father God, do Your work in our midst as we have opportunity to respond now. It's to Your glory we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together as we have this opportunity to respond. The altar will be open. I'll be here to pray with you should you come.
Is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way,
Father, thank you for your goodness, your presence in this place. I pray, Father, that we are prompted to love our mothers the way you desire for us to do so, and that, Lord God, we honor you as we do that. Father God, bless each one as they spend this day with family, and Lord God, prepare our hearts to be with you again, especially starting next week through revival. Lord God, do a work in our midst, so that you might be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Alec is going to make a presentation. Yeah, something like that. So I'm going to step out in the hallway, and I'll see y'all out there. Be seated.
Yeah, church. Time. Y'all can have a seat. So every year, we like to recognize the graduating class of members here at First Baptist Edna. And typically, it just falls on the perfect day of Mother's Day to do that. We have everybody's family here, and so I have a list of names, and so seniors, if you're in here and you hear your name, if you'll come up to the front, please. Ashton Wittenbert, Brigida Granberry, Cadence Childs, Hannah Rodriguez, Kirsten Zerati, Lexi Childs, and Macy Stansberry. And so, yeah, every year we like to bring them up here, parade them in front of you, and we like to give them something tangible to take with them, but also we like to offer some words of encouragement as they move very soon into the next chapter of life. And so, church, these are our brothers and sisters here that are soon to be going off into the adult world. And so if you'll recognize them now. All right, guys, if y'all will turn around and look at me, I know, beautiful. But as the youth committee representative, I'm supposed to offer some words of encouragement or wisdom or something like that. And so I'm going to try. And I've been thinking about it the last several days, just racking my brain, trying to figure out what do I tell these about to be adults. And The problem was that there was a lot that came to mind, so much, that it would have turned into another sermon. And I know everybody's trying to go to lunch, and so we're not trying to do all of that. But I was able to drill it down to this one thought, this one command: abide. And so, as y'all are all about to start a new chapter of your life, whether you're going to work or going to school or traveling for a little bit, I don't know what y'all are doing, but you're about to enter real adulthood, and all the adults in here have been right where you are. It doesn't get better. It's not as fun as you thought it is going to be. And that doesn't mean there's not great joys that come, but there's real life that comes after you leave the protection of your families and you maybe start your own family, you pursue a career, or just whatever it is you feel called to do. But I want to remind you to, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're pursuing a career, a degree, traveling, whatever it might be that you're going to do, maybe the military, abide in Christ. Abide in Christ, because my understanding is that all of you standing here are fellow believers. You have believed in your heart, you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and what that means is that the life you have is not your own. It is Christ's. And he hasn't given you a life so that you can just go and follow all your dreams. He's given you dreams. Those are good things. You should want to pursue things in life. You should have goals. But he should be the ultimate goal. Always. And so he's called us to abide, because there's going to be great difficulties that you face. There's going to be great victories that you face. There's going to be times where you might be rich. There might be times when you were poor. There might be a moment where everything that you've dreamed of comes to fruition. You get the dream job. Maybe you get the dream spouse or whatever it is that you're hoping for. But your life might end up being a roller coaster where you end up somewhere you never would have dreamed. I am a living testimony of that. But the Lord's plan for his children is life to the fullest in him. So abide in him. Remain in him. Abide in him through his word. Read his word daily. Study it. Live it out. Abide in him through prayer. I know a lot of times it seems like a chore. It seems like, what am I doing? I don't hear anybody talking back to me. This is supposed to be a conversation. He hears his children. Don't neglect time to commune with the Lord, to tell him what you need, what you're feeling. Ask him to show you what is true and what is right, and to lead you in wisdom. And then abide in the Lord through his people, the church. Wherever you end up, whether you are staying local, whether you are going across the country, across the planet, find a Bible-believing church. Find people that will challenge you to grow, and that will disciple you and love to be who the Lord has called you to be. And guys, before I end this, I just want to read a few verses from John 15. John 15, 1 through 8. This is Jesus' words. He's speaking here, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers.
Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you have trusted in the Lord, you are his disciple. You are his. Abide in him. All right? Let me pray for you. Okay? Father, we present the daughters and the son before you, our brother and sisters. And we thank you for the time that you've allowed us to watch them grow up, to see them from little ones all the way now, about to enter adulthood. And it's amazing to think that you've known this since the beginning, before the beginning of time. And we are just now experiencing it in real time. But Lord, would you be with them? Would you bless their lives as they begin these new chapters? We pray for many days ahead for them. And we know that there are challenges in store for them that they have to face. There are things they have to learn on their own. We can tell them everything about life. And there are just some things that don't stick until they experience it themselves. But Lord, would you help us to be faithful to them as you are faithful? To pray for them constantly, to encourage them when we are able, to love them, to challenge them to grow, to disciple them in truth. For Lord, that is what you've called us to as believers, as family. So Lord, again, we thank you for them, and we just ask for your gracious blessing over them. Their families, as they move through these next days, and figuring out what's going on and all of the emotions that come in tow with it, Lord, would you be with them? Abide in them and bring them to abide in you, Lord. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. All right, guys, y'all can be seated. Now, church. This is my final time to be with y'all and lead you as music leader here. And I wanted to take this opportunity, this last time, to kind of offer a blessing of farewell, to sing it over you. And so if you'll allow me to bless you one last time with this song.
You and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going. In your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Church, we love you. We're grateful for the time the Lord has given us to be here with you. And our prayers are continuously with you as he continues to work here and bring about his purposes. Thank you. You are dismissed.